Good morning, everybody. I trust that you're having a good day, and maybe you got some of that rain yesterday. We have our staff meetings on Tuesday afternoon, so I was down at the church, but my mother said that there was just a cloudburst here at the house for about a half hour. I went out into the yard this morning, and our wheelbarrow was standing there, and there's a lot of water in that wheelbarrow. I'm very thankful, and hope you had some of that blessing on your yard. And thank you, too, if you prayed for us in the elders' meeting last night. I mentioned that yesterday, that it was our monthly meeting. It was a good meeting. We got a lot done, especially in preparation for the business meeting next week, but a long meeting. We dismissed after midnight, so I'm sure many of the men didn't get to bed till around 1 o'clock. A long day, work all day, and those men come and we're in a meeting for over 5 hours, but they give their time so generously and cheerfully. Very, very thankful for the leadership of our elders over the years. But if you see any of those men today, you can, and he looks a little sleepy now, you know why. And you might thank him and prop him up a little bit. I want to call your attention to something today. There was a development in the church in Dundee, Scotland, that Robert Murray McShane was pastoring in the late 1830s and in the 1840s. And it occurred while McShane was away. He and Andrew Bonar were commissioned by the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland to go with two other ministers overland through Europe to the Holy Land, and to inquire into the present condition of Jewish people. They were to collect information about the number of the Jews that they would meet in the various cities, the spiritual condition of these people, their character, anything that would be helpful for the Scottish Church in Scotland as they considered sending missionaries. And eventually they did send missionaries, and there were some remarkable conversions that occurred. But they left at the end of March, 1839. McShane didn't return to the church until November, so he was gone, 8 months, I think. And that, of course, was a real challenge for the church. But McShane had obtained an interim for them in his absence, William Chalmers Burns, who we know of because of his connection with Hudson Taylor in missions in China. And it was under Burns that a real awakening occurred. And one of the great results of it, and this is what I want to call our attention to this morning, was the prayer meetings, and especially children's prayer meetings. I want to read to you three or four accounts of these children's prayer meetings that sprang up spontaneously without anybody really organizing it other than the children themselves. There was a young man, 15 years of age, named Alexander Lang, L-A-I-N-G. His mother had died 9 years earlier. He lived with his father, one sister, one brother. His older sister, Margaret, took care of him and his younger brother. The house was essentially a mud hut. His father was a stonemason. And God had done a great work in Alexander's heart. So he wrote a short letter to McShane to inform him about what he was doing. The letter is in somewhat broken English. He wasn't well educated. It came on a scrap of paper. It says he first informed McShane that the Lord had delivered him from hell, and that he felt the need to read and speak and pray with a few young people. So he says, and I'm quoting now, "I hope that by the power of Jesus and the words that we read," they were reading scripture, "I hope that he will put it to the hearts." In other words, that it would have an effect on our hearts. "Because he hath said, where there is two or three meet in his name, there will he be in midst of them." And he explained that he hadn't brought these children together in his own name, but he had looked to the strength of God's promises. And he shared a couple of Bible texts that it seemed to really direct him that this matter of praying like this was not a human decision. It was a command of Christ. And that he promised that he would not withhold his merciful blessings from people who prayed like this. So in the little meetings, he explained, every one of the young people was invited to pray out loud. And if he didn't dare to do it, then Alexander would ask that young person to at least say aloud the Lord's Prayer from the heart. And he related that he was leading these prayer meetings out of a love for those who followed the same Savior that he was now following. And in conclusion, he said that the meetings were held on Monday evening and on Saturday evening. Then there were two boys, Tom Brown and John Smith, who showed up at the door. They knocked on the door, and they brought with them a little letter to explain to their pastor what they were doing. Tom Brown lived in an orphanage, and there were some children in the area around the orphanage that he had gathered together. At first they would meet, he says, in a remote place somewhere outside town, and later they were able to get a little room in a school building, and they would meet together. And he had a list of the names of 18 boys and 12 girls written in two columns very nicely. And he said that none of them were any older than 14 years of age. So think of that now. And the two lists, you've got a list of the boys, list of the girls. First girl's name is Isabella Oliver. The last name, girl's name is Agnes Robertson. And they're meeting together, 30 of these young people, all of them 14 years or of age or younger. And Tom says, the Lord said that he loves prayer meetings and that he loves those who love him and that those who seek him early will find him. And so Tom explained that he and John, on the basis of these thoughts, had said, that's the reason we're going together. Because Jesus said he loves those that love him. So we want to gather and pray to show we love him. And he said that we'll find him if we seek him. There was another prayer meeting. And this one, the children were about 12 years of age. And they met in the home of one of the girls. Her name was Margaret. The family name was Sime, S-I-M-E. And they wrote a long letter in December, the month after McShane returned from the Holy Land. And they said, and I'm quoting now, we will tell you first its rising, in other words, how the prayer meeting started, and second of the manner in which it's conducted. And here's what had given rise to it. They had heard at Sunday school about the chains in which Satan held his slaves, and then of the love of Christ in breaking the chains. Then we felt we had been bound with chains, and many of us burst into tears, and we met in our house to pray that God breaks these chains. So Thomas Syme, Margaret's father, was one of their Sunday school teachers, gave them his house to meet in. And they would pray, they would get together and pray that the Lord would bless the preaching and the Sunday school lessons. They would read a little bit from the Bible. They would sing psalms together, and there's a list there of 12 children's names. McShane then, in that same month, December, wrote in his diary that at that point he could count 20 such prayer meetings that were going on within the church. Of course, not all of these were children. There was one that he referred to that was held among the older people in the church. But they were all spontaneous like that. They weren't officially scheduled on what we would call the church calendar or church diary. And he was a little concerned about a few problems. You always are going to face that kind of thing. There really wasn't, because they weren't overseen by leadership in the church, you were going to have, there were a few, some of the children may be a little more aggressive about getting up and sort of taking command and exhorting everybody more than they should. He was concerned about pride, that those who were gathering to pray not have a spirit of pride toward those who weren't. But nevertheless, he was really thrilled with what the Lord was doing there. And you know, folks, that really is one of the evidences of an awakening. You always see that in the history of revivals. There is this hunger that people have. And it isn't something that's just officially organized. They just on their own get together with friends and acquaintances because they want to seek the Lord's face. And I have thought so much, I've shared this with you about the Lord's word, about the words of Scripture. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. If ever there's been a season in our lives that ought to constrain us to some spontaneity about this, to small gatherings, hungry hearts joining together, getting away from the world to do this. Could there ever be such a season as this season? And you know, some of you can do that. You dads, you got your little family there. We've talked about this before. Get them together and pray. Your children need to hear you pray and hear you humble yourself before the Lord and teach them to pray. There's a group of people in our church that have been more in my heart than any other group during this time, and it's those of you who are the young adults. And you're unmarried, and the isolation for you is very difficult. You have long evenings by yourself sometimes. But just think, there are a lot of you. We have a lot of you in our church. And if a few of you would just step forward with a little bit of leadership and get three or four others together, you have a great blessing in that. You don't need to have some kind of rigidity about it that makes it sort of a heavy, burdensome thing. But wow, if once a week you'd get a few together for an hour, part of an evening. You can meet at a picnic table in a park. Our Whetstone group, our pastor's group, we meet in a little gazebo down in Columbia that's out in a park. It's quiet. When I was a student, there were some student leaders on campus who got together early in the mornings, 5:30 in the morning, in a car down by Omega Lake, praying for an awakening among the guys, especially on campus. And I just want to encourage you to take advantage of this, the advantage of this season that God would have us do, and find some ways to get with people and really pour your hearts out to the Lord. We have our prayer meeting tonight. It'll be a little different because for the first time, we're going to be having a virtual business meeting next Wednesday. So we kind of need to have a dress rehearsal tonight, but we will have a short devotional. And then we're going to hear testimonies from five people who want to join the church, and we'll have to vote on them next week. We're also going to get a goodbye from Sam Carter. Sam has accepted a position with a good church in South Bend, Indiana. I really hate to see Sam go, but he and Stephanie, you know, are going to be married and start their lives together there. So we're going to hear tonight how the Lord's led there. And then we'll have some men lead us in prayer. And kind of a dry run on our virtual business meeting. It'll be an interesting night, edifying night. But may the Lord give you a good day today. May you walk in the Spirit by God's grace. We pray together that God would help us to stay right with Him and know Him. And look forward to seeing some of you tonight.